Leslie Friedman, your first solo show here at the Delaware Contemporary. It's called Vivianus. This differs from some of your other work that you've shown around the region in that this has a story to tell, a narrative.
Yes, so my work is always very political, but this piece, while still political, aims to tell the story of these people who run away from their lives to live on an island together and communicate through rock and roll music.
You took your inspiration from a few places, the outsider art of Henry Darger, who wrote a book that had Vivianus first, and then the Source family, which was this 1970s commune/cult in LA. How did you get these things to come together for this piece?
So I started working on this body of work about 2.5 years ago. So in the beginning, my inspiration was Henry Darger's The Vivian Girls, and then also Gustav Klimt's Beethoven's Frieze. There's a section in there with some women singing in a choir that I just find beautiful, and if I could get it tattooed all over my body, I would. But as I worked more on this project, other inspirations came into play. And so 8 months ago, I started watching a documentary on Netflix called The Source Family. And I had watched other documentaries about cults, and I recognized in this particular documentary about the Source family that a lot of the people who, in my mind, get bullied and don't find a place are also the same kinds of people that do find community within what we would call a cult. And I also, what I thought was remarkable about the Source family was that despite the fact that we have these really negative associations with cults, and perhaps there were still some bad things that came of that cult, it wasn't as violent or destructive. So it's a little bit more complicated, which is actually what attracted me.
So how is this reflected in your work then, that story?
Well, there was already some overlaps. I had been talking about how this group of islanders communicate through rock and roll music, and it just so turns out that the Source family had a band called Yehoah 13. They also had a restaurant, which is featured in movies like Annie Hall. It's featured in my work in that the three lithographs that are in the show are sort of a takeoff of some of the imagery from their album covers or the restaurant. So I took real literal inspiration from the Source family in making those. And those are also come from my history in that I got started making prints when I was making rock and roll prints in college for local bands. Those would have been silk screens, not lithographs, but I think that there's an ease that I have making sort of graphic poster-like imagery.
You absolutely do. Let's walk over to some of them now, since we're on the conversation. Let's start with a piece that we're looking at right now. It's called A Surreal Expression of Particular Currents. Tell us about this one.
So this piece is one of my favorite lithographs in the suite that I made. And what I was trying to evoke here was some of the psychedelic symbolism from the 1960s and 70s. The faces are actually compilations of several faces. I do a lot of Photoshop, so that way when I'm sourcing my imagery, if I find something out there in the internet that I like, rather than take it wholesale, lately I've been working to combine it with two or three other images, so that way it becomes something completely new unto itself. And in that, there was an opportunity to play with racial ambiguity and gender ambiguity. So if you look at these faces, you'll see that they kind of straddle a lot of different markers of what we would assume about the people in our poster art.
And so then we'll head over to the other side of the gallery where we have some collagraphs. Explain that term.
So a collagraph is a very simple type of printmaking where you take, let's say, a cardboard substrate, and then you glue all sorts of different things to it, and then you can either roll it up in relief or ink it like an intaglio and print it. So it's very free form, and what I liked about the effects that I was seeing in collagraphs was the rawness and primitiveness of the images, which as a student of printmaking, we're all very familiar with Paul Gauguin's prints from when he went to Tahiti. And he had this vision of what Tahiti would be. He thought it would be this island, this rustic island where he would live amongst the natives. And actually, when he got there, they had been modernized quite a bit, but he still depicted in his prints a really primitive place. And so I took inspiration from that and created these collagraphs. These are the kinds of collagraphs as if the people of the island were making them themselves. So depicted, you'll see beach scenes, scenes of their huts, swimming, but there's always something kind of mysterious and odd about the way that people are communicating with each other or socializing with each other. And then also there might be little bits of modern life mixed in to some of the prints that don't make a lot of sense. Like, how did those speakers get there? Where's the electricity? Those kinds of things.
And in the gallery as well, a very large piece that takes up one wall. It's called Seekers Become Finders. It's mixed media. It's a little bit like wallpaper, except it's horizontal, not vertical.
Yes, so I teach at the Tyler School of Art, and also in my studio, I have these long tables where you can print repeat patterns. I used the repeat pattern print technique instead of making the kinds of strips that would go tall to wallpaper room. I thought of them as horizontal pieces so that I could reference friezes or other ways of telling a story, you know, left to right. And so there's two patterns in here that match up and down and, of course, left and right. And together they become this wallpaper painting that I call Seekers Become Finders. So in one strip you'll see the red background where you see all these characters and they're singing together, but they're singing not in like a happy way, but more in a punk rock kind of way. And then in the yellow strip, you see what looks like some people praying to or bowing down to one of the figures, and then that figure being uncomfortable with that and rushing off and then ending up praying for another figure. So there's sort of this cycle of putting someone on a pedestal and then also subjugating yourself.
Inspired by the Sewers family, inspired, of course, by Henry Darger. How did you first come upon his work?
Again, another documentary. His story is really interesting because not only did people not realize his artistic talent during his lifetime, but they also didn't even think that he had much of a brain. He was treated very poorly and treated like he was mentally handicapped most of his life. And so when he died and they opened up his dresser, they found all of these materials. And that has been, you know, the sort of the story that a lot of people are interested in outsider art focus on. His books were very long, and I was already thinking about how could I take the things that I was already comfortable and interested in, which is pattern, and use that to tell a story, because storytelling has never been really a big part of my work. And so I gave myself that challenge. I wanted to tell a story. So looking at his work, they had these very long scroll-like stories. So there was something to that format. And then also the drawings, the way that he did a lot of tracing of drawings that were already out there, which is one of the ways that I work. So looking at the way that he drew the girls and the scenes that they were in.
And over here in the middle of the gallery, you have a hut. And inside the hut is a monitor, obviously, with a TV screen. Tell us about this particular piece here.
This is an animation that debuted last spring, but it takes its inspiration from the wallpaper piece, and it also is inspired by a song by Nina Hagen, who's a German performer, I would say punk, but she's so much broader than that. She's so much more than just being a rock or a punk singer. And the song that inspired me is one that my college roommate played for me in 2000 that has stayed with me ever since, and it's about, you know, being free of political oppression. And I took that also to be kind of free from any kind of oppression.
And that song was I Was Born in 66.
Yes, I Was Born in 66. So she spells it XIXAS, which I think is the German spelling for 66. So my piece is I Was Born in 66, just the numbers, as in 1966.
Why do you think that song speaks to you so much?
Well, when I heard it back in my early 20s, late teens, to me it reminded me of the kind of music that the Muppets would dance to. They're just something so, you want to move, you want to dance, and at the same time there's this story and this undercurrent of this political undercurrent with the song. And I think that that's just kinds of things that motivate all of my work is, you know, there's something playful there. There's something that makes you smile and makes you want to participate, but then underneath all of those techniques is this very true, very real history. And so that has always been inspiring to me. I think the song is also just inspiring because of her voice. She's not trying to be your typical female vocalist. She never has. And in this song, you hear this really graspy, growly voice, which I think is inspiring, especially today when we're talking more about gender fluidity and what it means to be a woman or a man or something in between.
My brother was a soldier, Paithuan, Vietnam.